welcome to Artists at Work, brought to you by the Artist Sanctuary. And today is our very first episode. I'm so excited to have Anastasia Drake. She is my very favorite artist, and she's so successful and so inspiring to me. So I just want to introduce her to you. So welcome, Anastasia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Not as excited as I am, I tell you. Well, Anastasia, what's impressed me so much about her is, aside from her work ethic, which she is the most professional artist. I mean, she does this as a business. She does great marketing. A lot of time artists fall down in that area, but not Anastasia. And she's traveled all over the world, an artist. What were they? Artist in residency programs?
Yeah.
Okay. And so anyway, I'm just so thrilled to have her. And I want to find out a few things. I'm just curious or nosy, call it what you will. And I've always wondered what brings inspiration to you, Anastasia, and your background. How did you get into painting? Were you always a painter? Tell us everything.
Whew, okay, do we have enough time? Actually, so I started drawing really young. Like, I would get bored with school, and so I remember, like, math papers having these whole scenes with, like, trees and squirrels, and, like, I can complete my work before anyone else, and then I would, like, create these real elaborate scenery. And what I didn't realize, I grew up in sort of a volatile childhood. There was a lot of chaos and abuse and things going on, and I was using art as a form of therapy and didn't realize it. So we get these really bad migraines due to just being oversensitive for my environment. And I would sit down and I would start drawing and the headaches would go away. And That's how it all kind of started. And then I was self-taught. So I would sit down with magazines and a sketchbook and I would draw from the front cover clear to the back. And just learning that way, just sitting and drawing and paying attention to light. And then as I got older, I grew up in the country, so we didn't really have an art program per se. And when it came time to go to college, people said, you should do art. And I was like, I didn't even know being an artist was a thing. I mean, I grew up in the country, right? So I didn't even know that was a thing. I'd never been in a gallery. I'd never met like a professional artist. So it wasn't even on my radar. And I was very much a closet artist. And so I did it for me. And I only really drug it out when I was struggling emotionally. So like if I had a really bad day at work, I'd drag out the art materials and I started playing. And I had been a sketch artist and I was doing portraits. And I just gifted those. I didn't know, again, that you could make money as an artist. And then my grandmother had gifted me some paints that she wasn't using. And once I started painting, I was like, this is like sketching, but with color. It was so exciting to me. So I was hooked. Fast forward, I've been a closet artist my whole life. And when I was 25, I was working corporate America. I was very driven, working for a marketing company. And I was misdiagnosed with cancer. And it really kind of knocked me off my axis, you know? And I was doing the whole, like, wait, if I were to die tomorrow, is this how I want to spend my life? Like, working for this company who doesn't care about me, who isn't doing any better for the world. So I sort of started on this whole self-discovery journey, and I was really, really painting during that time, trying to process. And I was fortunate enough to be dating somebody who knew a little more about the art world, and he submitted one of my pieces to a show. And I was devastated. I cried and I was like, they're gonna know I'm a fake. They're gonna know I'm not a real artist. And I got in. And out of 500 pieces, 4 sold and mine was one of them. And I was like, wait, what? Wait, you want to give me money for my art? Like, I didn't know that side of the world existed. And then I, on a whim, fast forward a couple years, on a whim, you know, I'm kind of showing my work here and there, little tiny places. And I wanted to travel, and I was kind of getting that place in my life where I'm like this country girl. I had all these plans. I was going to go travel the world, and I haven't done it. What's wrong with me? And so I started doing some research, and I found out about something called artist residencies. And some of them, they're all very different, but some of them will pay you to go and do artwork. And I thought, well, that'd be cool. So didn't know anything about the art world, but I had a marketing background. So I put together a portfolio of my work and wrote a cover letter saying, you know, this is who I am and this is what I want to do. And I won. And so I went to Budapest. Like fresh out of Kansas, you know, I've never been out of the country, and suddenly I'm in Budapest, and I got there and I'm working with all these amazing artists. Some of them are famous and I don't know anything. So I'm sort of like just keeping my mouth shut, you know? And then I thought, well, this is cool. And so I applied for another one in Italy and I won. So I went to Italy and then Romania. And so I just started kind of traveling the world with my art and thinking, you know, this is amazing. I didn't know this was out there. So I stayed a year and then I came back. I had won an artist fellowship to France. And then right following that, I had won a grant and a fellowship in India to do artwork with the Kerosene Brides, the women that they set on fire. And it was going to be like a year-long thing. And I thought, okay, this is great. I'm going to go. And a little TMI, I moved back to kind of sell everything and go be that crazy artist, you know, nomad artist, follow my dreams, whatever. And I found out I was pregnant on birth control. And I was suddenly freaking out because I was homeless. I was jobless. You know, I'm like not in a position to be a mom. And I started applying for jobs like crazy. Nobody would hire me. And I thought, okay, well, I have my art and I have to make a career out of it. So literally I set up an art studio in my home at the time, and I would wear my son in a sling and teach art classes and do art shows and sell art. And it wasn't, failing wasn't an option. You know, so many people are like, let's have something to fall back on. I had nothing to fall back on. So I had to make it work, and sort of had that like, oh my God, a kid's going to ruin my life moment. And, you know, I just didn't know what I was doing. And what's so cool is he's 12. He's now been to 12 countries. He's went to a couple of artist residencies with me. He's got to travel as well. And, he does some art projects with me. So it's been really cool because I went from being like somebody who knows nothing about art into making an entire career and supporting my son and I with it. And then being able to travel the world with my son and, you know, getting to expose him to all these amazing cultures and all the languages and things that I didn't get on the farm, you know? So that's sort of the long story short.
Well, amazing things that you've done. And also, you know, there's things that have come to mind while you were talking. First of all, I failed to mention that everybody can see is you've got this amazing head of beautiful hair.
Thank you.
And I just like, wow. Every time I see you, it's just like a lion's mane. But and you've gone out like a lion, roaring, you know, it's just, I'm taking this. You know, I you have a vision, you've got a goal, you apply. It's like, well, you know, and the things that come to mind are this. What do you put on your applications? I mean, I want to be able to win these things too. I know it has to do with your artwork and your talent and your vision, but what have you put on there that gets you that choice? They choose you.
I think it's being real. I think it's being authentic. So many people try to use these big words and this jargon and sound like they know more. And I think usually what I do is I research the organization. I look at who they've had. I research the jurors. And so I kind of get an idea of the types of people they are. And then I just try to connect to them. So from a very real place. So not from like a overeducated, I'm going to throw all my jargon at you and sound like all theoretical. I really just try to connect as a person. And I think people can connect to it. And that's I mean, that's basic marketing. I hate to say it, but that's basic marketing, is connecting to people. So, yeah, it's doing a little bit of research, understanding what you're applying for. So many times people apply for things and don't even understand what they're actually applying for. And being able to connect to things that mean something to me versus, you know, there's programs out there I would never apply for because I just don't connect with them. So making sure that there's that connection there.
So I'm still, thank you. That really helps. But if you were going to do a sentence in that application saying, this is what I want to do, can you just say that sentence? I mean, I'm just trying to get some hints here.
It really depends on the program. Really read about what the program's about. For example, I applied for one today, and it has to do with nature and ecology. And so my whole focus was about a project I could do that directly correlates to that and why that means that, why it's important to me. So it's actually here in Kansas, and it was talking about my connection to growing up and not being able to connect to it because I had, it was chores, you know. And then as I've gotten older, finding the beauty in it and wanting to show other people the beauty that they wouldn't get. It's a real, real connection to that. Sometimes some of the international ones was just, I wanted travel. I wanted experience. I wanted to connect to other artists and learn from them. And so that was what it was about. And, you know, that's my one sentence. I want to travel. I want to meet other artists. I want to learn from them. I want to expand my own education and my own experience. So really, unfortunately, there's not one catch-all because each residency is so completely different. But making sure you understand what you're applying for is big. And then writing to that, I think, is the key.
Thank you. That's going to help me in the future when I'm applying for these things. And I know it'll help other people as well. You know, just be true to yourself. And just put it out there. I like that.
Sort of, I think, thinking about it like a job interview. I mean, you're not going to, if you're showing up and to say an informal job interview, you're not going to completely dress up to the nines, right? Because they're going to be like, well, she's not a good fit. And it's sort of the same thing, like finding the connection and knowing your audience and then speaking to that.
So the research.
Yes.
Connection. True to yourself. Put it out there. Okay, Great. And I also know that you love nature. You hike all the time. You know, you're just out there almost. Is it daily?
Almost daily, yeah. When it's not too cold, yes.
Yeah. And so I'm living vicariously through you all the time.
Yeah, nature's huge to me. I find so much beauty everywhere. You know, I remember what, just in relation to the thing I wrote today of driving through Kansas, and it's a flyover state, right? And they say it's so ugly. And from the highway, it kind of is, you know, it's just brown and icky. But if you were to get out of your car and walk out into a prairie and suddenly you see all these, like, these sensitive ferns that when you touch them, they curl up. And I mean, there's so much out there you don't even know exists. And so, it's really just trying to find that beauty everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're so unique in your own right, just as a person, but you've taken acrylic painting to a different level, with it being unique as well. I've never seen any work like yours. I really haven't. And did you just kind of come up with the style you have? And do you want to, she does it like a three-dimensional painting.
One piece that I did, acrylic paint.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this all started, I hadn't worked with texture much. And, when I came to Kansas City in between my artist residencies, the Arthritis Foundation had approached me and said, you know, hey, we got this program and it's just, you do art with a kid and, we would love to have you do art. And then we put the art up for auction. And I thought, yeah, I'll finger paint with a kid. This will be fun. Right. And they, when I showed up, I don't even know how they got my name or how they knew anything about me, but the director pulled me aside and said, you know, I know about your work, and we gave you a special case. And I was like, so I'm not finger painting with a kid. And it was a 12-year-old girl who was going blind. She had a very rare form of arthritis called Behçet's, which makes you go blind. And so to save the little bit of vision that she had so they could teach her life skills as a blind person, they shot her full of steroids. So here she is, 12 years old. She's going blind. Like, 12 isn't hard enough. Now she's going blind. And then she blows up, adds 100 pounds because of steroids. She's super depressed. And I said, you know, I would start working with her, and I tried to get her to talk about what was going on in her life, and she just didn't want to talk about it. You know, she just wants to be a normal kid. And finally I said, listen, we got to do something. So tell me what we should draw. And I said, this is, art is your voice. You get to tell people what this disease means to you. And I said, what would you put on a canvas? And she says, well, I would do a roller coaster. She said, my life's a roller coaster. I wake up in the morning and I feel okay, but I go to school and the kids making fun of me, and I go down and I try to recover, but I get headaches and I go down. She's like, my life is a roller coaster. And I said, great, let's go with that. And so I drew out a roller coaster, and it was very cute. She looked at me and she said, can we draw the kids who making fun of me flying off the page? And I said, yes, we can. And so then she started to kind of open up through that process. And she started to talk about some of her fears. And she said, you know, I always wanted to be an artist, but I can't now because I'm going blind. And I said, who told you you can't be an artist? So I took Van Gogh and Monet, who both had vision problems, and I blew their work up on a wall with a projector. And I said, they had vision problems and they didn't let it hold them back. And she said, their work makes me happy. That's what I want people to do. So I was trying to figure out how to work with her. And with her nose touching the canvas, I kid you not, she drew out this landscape with a sun and flowers. But when she stepped back, she couldn't see it to paint it. And so I took a hot glue gun and I traced her drawing so she could feel it. And then I said, you know, here's red, here's blue, here's yellow. And she painted the whole thing like that. And then at the auction, we told her story and we asked people to touch the painting so that they could see the world as she sees it. And it sold. It actually went on a international tour with some doctor talking about art. And I mean, from there, it was interesting to me because not only watching the transformation in her, she was so proud of herself. You know, she said, I can do anything. I just have to do it different. And then watching people interact with her painting was really fascinating to me because there's this whole sort of like elitist mystery sometimes behind art. You can't touch it. You can't talk about it. You can't do it. And oh, my dog's going to bark. Sorry.
That's okay.
She's in the studio all the time. So it was really cool. It was like watching little kids all day, like all night long, and they come up and they touch it and they'd be like, am I really allowed to? And they would touch it. They would get so excited. And I thought, something's missing here. And so I started getting my paint thicker and thicker and thicker and figuring out how to work with it and sculpt with it. So yeah, my paintings have gotten extremely thick. I'll grab one piece. You can see up close. I figured out how to sculpt with acrylic paint. So they are extremely thick. And then I will do shows. I have done shows. I put heavy sealer on it. And because it's acrylic, I will have shows where I allow people to touch. So this was pre-pandemic, of course. But I would allow people to come up and touch the paintings. And it was remarkable. Like, people would cry and hug me and be like, this is something I've never been able to do. And suddenly that fear of art or that mystery of art sort of fell away, and they were connecting to it in a different sort of way. And I just fell in love with that. So it's been my mission just to see how far I can push the limits with acrylic paint, and it's getting thicker and thicker and thicker. So, but I'm just loving it. I mean, from creating realistic type roses and a nest to just, you know, flowers. They're fun to touch. It's fun to watch people connect to them. And, you know, I think one of my best compliments is when people say, I don't know anything about art, but I know when I look at your art, it makes me happy. And I'm like, that's the best possible compliment you could give me.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah, you're just filling a need. You know, There was something that wasn't there, and you saw that there was a need, that there wasn't something there. You didn't go out planning to do that. And because it was needed out there, and you could figure out how to fill that gap, and you went out and did it. And people love it because it does make them happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have some other work you could show us, or...
I do. Let me switch my camera out here. I don't have a ton in my studio. Hey, let's see here.
She'll be right back.
It pops up.
She was switching from her camera to her webcam, and it takes a second for the transition. There. I think she's returning.
Yes, sorry.
There she is.
Okay, I think I'm here. Perfect. Hopefully I don't make everybody sick. So, some of my work, and I won't be able to get super close. Let's see here. Super close. There's some pieces I've been working on that are, it's about as close as I can get at the moment, unfortunately, because I have my wired webcam, but, just more textured pieces. I've also been working with oils a little bit, trying to push the limits of oils. I just started this.
Ooh, I love that one, especially. That's gorgeous. Well, they all are, but I love those flowers.
Oils are getting pretty thick. You think? Yeah, so it's really just trying to push the limits of what I can do. You can see my, let's see if I can get it. Can't see it well, but this is my little paint monster. So that's actually, and I'll grab it. It's not moving around well, I'm sorry. It's actually from my palettes. So, trying to get back on here. It's from my palettes. So, I take all the leftover paint and I created a palette. It's probably like 30 pounds now. He's called my paint monster. And I take this to shows because people love to touch it, and it's all paint. So it's literally from my palettes. And it's just, I clean the paint off my palettes and I throw it onto a palette. So I call him paint
monster. He needs a hat.
I dress him up. yes, he gets dressed up on occasion. So he's fun. So my studio is sort of pre-pandemic. I had a much bigger studio, and then it didn't make sense anymore to keep a studio. And I'm going to switch back cameras.
You'll be right back.
I think
know.
This is dragging just a little bit. Sorry.
And I can hear her coming back. Here she is.
I can hear you. Just getting my camera to switch over.
I remember... several years ago, I had a art gallery, and Anastasia was one of our studio artists, and I loved the different things that she came up with to not just display her art, but to keep her paints in order, all those little tricks that, keep you kind of a little bit more organized, and you can see at a glance where your colors are, and what you need to buy because of the way you have them displayed. I don't know if you've got that still going on, but you had the little clips on the back of each of your tubes.
I do. And I'll show you. Unfortunately, my computer.
I thought that was ingenious.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So, yes, I will show you very quickly that you can barely see it. Unfortunately, everything's wired up. But right over there, I have a pegboard full of pegs, and the paints hang down the side. I am kind of an organization freak, which maybe isn't Like, even though my studio looks like chaos, it's super organized. So over here, everything's like labeled and drawers. I just like having a home for everything. And I got tired of digging in a bucket. You know, we all throw our paints in like a big bucket or something. And I was digging. I couldn't find the colors. So I have a pegboard with pegs and I hang all my paints in colors. So if I need, you know, raw sienna, I can go right to it instead of like digging for it. So yeah, I am maybe a little OCD when it comes to organization.
You know what? That delays the creative process. It makes you frustrated. You're looking for that color and you got to have that color. Yeah. Nothing else will do. And if you waste time doing it, you kind of enter into a different type of mentality. You know, you're frustrated instead of being joyful and excited about where you left off just before you needed that color, you know, it's brilliant. And I think that as a rule, we should just put that into practice as artists, just organize a little bit more and just make our creative process a little bit easier.
And I won't say it's always clean, but it's organized. Like I know where things are and my husband is, extreme ADHD, and to walk into his office just completely stresses me out. We're total opposites in that sense. But to him, he knows where things are. So, you know, I'm sure it depends. My labeling system, like, totally freaks him out.
He's so, a organized mess kind of mentality.
Yes.
You know, I'm there too. You know, I'm neither, my studio is neither clean nor organized. But working on it.
I will have to, before I start a big project, I will have to clean. And then I come in and I clean. And then, I mean, it becomes a wreck as I work because you're focused, you know, so you're throwing everything here and there. And then when I'm done, I'll have to clean it and reorganize it. But at least it has a home to go to eventually.
Yeah, the downtime of when you're finished, you know.
Right.
Okay, so one thing I didn't ask you yet is, what inspires you to create a certain work?
I mean, it's so many different things. It's just everyday life. And I know that seems very cliche, but I can be hiking and see like the shadow at sunset from the trees across the prairie and go, oh, I need to paint that. I need to capture that. When I was little, watching my son was amazing to me because he was so uninhibited. Like he taught me so much because sometimes I can get, you know, perfectionism can kill creativity, right? And you just can't stop. And watching my son play with such abandon and create, and he was proud of himself. And so it really challenged me to like push outside and do things and create where I was like, let's play with this. Let's stop being so serious for a little while and play and see what happens. And some of my best pieces, most of my work comes out of that process of just allowing myself to play, where I think many times as artists, when we're trying to make a living as artists, we don't allow ourselves enough time to play because we need to create to make money. Right. And so, I would say just watching, I got ideas from texture when I was watching a woodworker and how he was putting pieces together and using glue. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that would work with paint. And, you know, so I'm always just taking information and processing it and going, how can I do that with that? You know? And so it really is everyday life. You know, I try to expose myself to different artists, talk to everybody, talk to artists, nature, looking at things, textures, and going, how can I create that? And so, yeah, I know it's kind of a cliche answer, but it really is. I mean,
it's the answer. Yeah. Now, if you see like you're hiking and you see something that strikes you, do you have a camera? Do you take your phone and take
I take my phone and I will take pictures just so I can remember. I also keep a sketch pad. I carry a notebook like everywhere with me. I mean, it's always by my side because I'll make notes and I'll be like quick sketches and make notes like, oh, well, you know, right now the shadow was purple And so my trees come out purple later and that sort of thing. Just trying to capture those little moments so I can remember later, because I think my brain works so fast sometimes that, you know, you're going to forget.
Yeah.
So it's just little reminders to myself.
Now, you've taken your artwork too, and you looked into licensing your artwork, and you've created fabric, your art on fabric. And there's a lot of different products that you've created from the one painting you've done.
Yes.
Right? If you do original, and then you can have a lot of products from it.
Yes.
What do you recommend with that? What have you found, pros and cons?
I would say, I mean, my biggest advice to artists in general is create multiple income streams. And a perfect example of that, I have friends who are very into the art show world, like the fine art craft fairs, the big art fairs, and they make a good living at that. Well, pandemic hits. Every show was canceled this year. Every single show. And suddenly artists are struggling. I was fortunate because I had other sources of income coming in the sense that I had work in galleries. And the galleries don't want to lose money, so they're out there promoting your stuff and they're working for you. I do a lot of, you know, I have my own website. You have to have a website.
Tell us the address of your website while we're talking about it here.
So it's strokeofred.com.
Okay.
Is my website. I have all my work on there. I've gotten approached for murals. I'm always looking at opportunities to put my art in different places. Licensing can be tricky, but worth it because passive income is great, right? So I do an original, and then I have cards printed, and I have other things printed. So I made the piece one time, but I keep making income off of it. I also found a niche. I started teaching yoga this year, and I couldn't find the study materials that I wanted. So I created them, and I hand illustrated these yoga flashcards, and they got so big so fast. They're on Amazon now. I self-published them. I was trying to go with a local printer, and we couldn't keep up. And so, like, I had to go to a publisher. And, I mean, that's a passive income that I did those drawings one time, and now I just get a check once a month.
Now, do you have a separate website for that?
Nope, it's on Stroke of Red as well. So you can look under yoga art. I'm now hand illustrating a book for that. So, and literally it was just a need. The materials weren't there and people were like, well, I want this and I want this, but I can't find it. And I'm like, well, huh, I can make that, you know? And so it's really just finding a need and going there. So
yeah.
there's, I would say if you want to be successful as an artist, find multiple streams of income. And I know it's not easy, but don't put all your eggs in one basket, because I've watched friends who they made a great living at art fairs, and art fairs are hard. I did a couple a year, but that was income I counted on. And when you can't count on it suddenly for whatever reason, I mean, weather can ruin an art fair.
Or if you're not feeling well.
We did an art fair where you got immensely sick at.
Oh my god. Yes. That was the worst I've felt, and I was sick. I mean, I don't even gross you out about how sick I was at this art fair. Yeah, that's right. And that's a great art fair at the Somerset Ridge winery in between Paola and Lewisburg, Kansas. My favorite place to drink wine.
Yes.
But we had art on the vines. And I think that's where we met in person, actually, because
I think so.
I had seen your work. I'd heard about you in the Kansas City metro area because that's where I was living. And then I introduced myself to you because I'd seen your work and I'd heard about you. And I was like, I got to meet this gal.
We were there several years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were lucky. We were right next to each other. And then I remember you getting like incredibly sick. And I was like, go sit in your car. We'll take care of this.
I didn't even.
But I mean,
that's my trick, not having to take my work down at the end of the show. I was like, yeah. Oh, I'm sick. Yeah.
Right. Those are the things that can knock you out. And if you're counting on that income, you know, suddenly you can't. So, as many things as you can get your fingers into.
But your online sales keep coming in, even if you can't do a show. I mean, so, you know, what great advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, my takeaway.
There's a lot of opportunities out there. Look at artists that you admire and see what they're doing. You know, when pandemic hit, I started offering free online art classes to kids. And pretty soon I had a big enough following that people were like, when's your next class? When's your next class? And they started paying me for them, you know? And that wasn't something I really did before. It was just like, well, I feel bad. All these kids are trapped at home. So let's give them something to do. And then next thing you know, when it's not there, they're like, well, wait, we'll pay for this. Give it to me. So yeah, you have to be creative, I think. And as artists, you know, who's more creative?
Yeah.
Just have to think outside the box.
So your recurring theme here is you see a need and you think, I can do that, and you fill it. So you're helping people. There's a problem and you're helping them solve the problem. You're there to help them solve the problem. And in the meantime, it helps you financially because, you know, initially, like, you offer it for free sometimes, you know, and then you create a demand and then people want to pay you for it. So it's like, you know, fantastic because you're helping them. Now they're helping you. You're helping each other. I mean, because they're getting just as much as you're getting from it, you know, because how much fun it is and how it changes your, what, endorphins and all of that by doing something creative. So yay, good job.
And giving people the opportunity to try something they wouldn't try normally.
Pushing the envelope.
Right?
Yeah.
Like most
yeah.
people wouldn't Pushing do that. And so when you make it accessible to them and they're like, I'll give it a try. And then they fall in love with it. So that's, yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about for me.
So we're going to have to get these t-shirts that say, eat, play, love.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the next thing.
Do art.
Well, thank you so much for coming to the very first episode of Artists at Work. And the whole point is, I want to show that artists are working. And I'm just so darn curious as to what makes artists tick and where they work and their studios. I want to, you know, all these magazines that show artist studios, I can't get enough of it. And they only have like a couple artists per issue. It's like, come on, I want more. So thank you for letting us enter into your studio and sharing your life, sharing your what inspires you and everything else. I so appreciate it. And we're going to have to go to strokeofred.com and look at all your art. And can't wait to see you again in person.
Yes. Yes.
Good friends.
Yes, always. Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And just keep creating. That's my thing. Keep creating.
Keep creating. I like that. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to say goodbye now. And I want to thank the Artist Sanctuary. And actually, that's a nonprofit that I founded for artists with the mission to be a catalyst for artists to be successful. Artists at Work is a little separate thing, but we're going to be filming from there. Right now we're in my studio, which is a mess, but so we're not going to look around at all. But soon we're renovating, adding a wheelchair lift, ADA bathrooms, things like that. So soon we'll be filming from there, and it'll be a venue for people to film online shows as well. So thank you, The Artist Sanctuary. You can find it on Facebook. You can find Artists at Work, and it's the @ Artists at Work on Facebook. Join our pages there. And we'd like to hear from you. If you're an artist that has an interest, or if you want to sponsor the show, just let us know. We'd be more than happy to have you support us that way. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.